Sanders in the March election for San Luis Obispo City Council. The Cal Poly student says he's running because the students haven't had a voice in city politics and because he feels there's a lack of assertiveness in the current council.
I'm afraid the city council, is, in my eyes, has not really made a real decision in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, they have not passed the housing element, even though it's been proposed the last 5 years. They've not done anything about the rent problem for mobile home residents. They've not done anything about the rent in this city for renters. They've not made any real decisions except an occasional easement and an occasional abatement. I mean, they run the city at the status quo very well, but when it comes to innovation, they're really lacking.
Robinson is particularly concerned with the council's indecision on whether San Luis Obispo should grow. He favors growth, but says the decision should be up to the voters.
We get down to a matter of growth. And the city council has been hemming and hawing, like I said, for about 5 years as to whether this city is going to grow or not grow. What I'd like to see done is what Chief Gurney tried to do, and that was to put up to a vote of the city. You know, where exactly do you want to grow if you want to grow? Do you want this city to expand at all? You know, I was talking to Walt Lambert earlier today, and he gave me, I think, a really good example. You know, San Luis Obispo is like a plant. If you water it a little bit, it's going to grow a little bit. But if you don't water it at all, then it's going to die.
Robinson says his campaign will not interfere with his presidential responsibilities, but rather his official duties will probably prevent him from conducting the type of race he'd like. His campaign is being almost totally student-run, and although he feels he'd be a fair representative to the whole community, he is depending heavily on student support.
As the students vote, as the students vote for students, I may have a really good chance, but it all depends on, number one, how I think the students vote, and number two, how much they really want to have input in the city.
For 91 News, this is Leslie Bensacker reporting.
Cataract is one of the leading causes of visual impairment and blindness in this country, affecting nearly a million more people every year. Cataract is a cloudiness in the lens of the eye which interferes with vision. Although most kinds of cataract cannot be prevented, sight lost from this disease can usually be restored through surgery. Cataract surgery is one of the most successful operations performed today. That's right, from 90 to 95% of all cataract operations are successful. Yet, this operation is often needlessly feared. Cataract surgery is an opportunity to regain lost sight. It is safe, painless, and usually requires only a brief stay in the hospital. And surgery is the only scientifically proven method of treating cataract. An informative booklet, Cataract, Focus on Research, has been prepared by the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, 20014.
Weather for the San Luis Obispo area calls for fair skies today and tomorrow with little chances of rain. Highs today will be in the low 60s with lows tonight in the low 40s. Today we'll have variable winds between 10 and 15 miles per hour. Temperatures, Paso Robles is 46 degrees. Atascadero, it's 44 degrees, 52 degrees in Arroyo Grande, 42 degrees in Santa Maria, and 48 degrees in San Luis Obispo. And in national news, Swedish police took four persons into custody today after they allegedly hijacked a Soviet airliner just before its scheduled landing at Stockholm Airport. The four are believed to be a Swedish man, an Indian woman, a Brazilian woman, and a West German woman. Their motives are not clear, but a Swedish police inspector says they apparently seized the plane to draw the world's attention to conditions in the Soviet Union. The inspector adds that there are still some doubts about their nationalities. It was reported earlier that the hijackers were Soviet citizens. Vietnamese reports fierce fighting today in the Northwest Corridor that leads from Hanoi to the Chinese border. Vietnam's official radio, monitored in Bangkok, claims its forces wiped out 2,000 Chinese invaders from Friday to yesterday. It says two more Chinese companies were decimated northeast of Hanoi in Lang Son province. And in Peking, President Carter has called on China to get out of Vietnam fast. U.S. Treasury Secretary Blumenthal says he delivered the message today at a meeting with Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping. But before the meeting, Deng had turned away some American criticism, saying China's invasion is a limited action that shouldn't lead to a major war. Deng also suggested China felt it had to attack Vietnam because it didn't feel Washington was brave enough to buck the Soviet ally. He said he doesn't expect Moscow to respond strongly. But if it does, he said, we are prepared against that. In Jerusalem, the Israeli cabinet is meeting to decide whether Prime Minister Begin should travel to Washington later this week for continued Mideast peace negotiations. Foreign Minister Dayan returned to Israel from the U.S. to advise the government on developments at the Camp David talks. Egyptian President Sadat has indicated that he will not come to the presidential retreat for negotiations. The administration is sending a standby plan to Congress today for gasoline rationing and other energy-saving measures. Details remain to be settled, but the plan reportedly includes allocation of crude oil among refineries and restrictions on weekend sales of gasoline and diesel fuel. And in Baltimore, what's a 4-ton Nile hippopotamus worth? Well, a Baltimore zoo picked up one from a Virginia zoo in exchange for 4 red-crested Ponarch ducks. Upon arriving at its new home in Baltimore, the hippo waded into a pool and sank. Zoo officials said she had never been in deep water before, but quickly learned how to swim. And how healthy is running? 91 News reporter Bruce Tokar spoke to the California Medical Association for this interesting feature.
They're often running each Saturday at UC San Francisco School of Medicine. At least some people are. A group of medical students has started a public running clinic. Greg Thomas, med student and marathon runner, explains the curriculum.
We'll start off with a question-answer period on running, go into a brief discussion of some aspect, depending on the week, on running and health, cholesterol, blood pressure, et cetera, and how running affects those things. Go into then a group stretching exercise, whereby one of the medical student leaders will demonstrate stretching techniques, and then you'll go out on a run, depending on how far you want to run, or walk, in fact, that day.
The free running clinics are held at Kezar Pavilion in San Francisco each Saturday morning at 10. This is Linda Conti reporting from San Francisco.
In California news, a San Francisco judge has postponed deciding whether to allocate People's Temple funds to transport 565 cult members' bodies from the East Coast to California. The judge says, however, that a plan to trek the bodies in a cross-country caravan would be, in his words, very unwise. Actor Lee Marvin's attorneys are expected to continue their attack on Michelle Triola Marvin's credibility when the landmark Marvin property settlement trial resumes in Los Angeles today. The trial is entering its 7th week. In Sacramento, Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb says California's Farm Labor Board favors farm workers. After meeting in Sacramento with 40 representatives of grower groups, the acting governor added that substantial amendments are necessary in the state's farm labor law. The American Turnabout Association has once again called on the U.S. government to halt seizure of American fishing boats by Costa Rica. A Costa Rican patrol boat forced the San Pedro-based White Star into the port of Punercas yesterday. And the Republicans in the state Senate say they'll try next week to force a floor vote on the Constitutional Convention aimed at requiring a balanced federal budget. The vow came yesterday during assembly debate that preceded rejection of Governor Brown's convention call. It was a day to lower expectations for Governor Brown. Instead of approving a resolution supporting a constitutional convention, the National Governors Association voted only for a study of how states should keep their budgets well-balanced. United Farm Workers leader Cesar Chavez is expected to lead thousands of strikers from field to field in California's Imperial Valley today in an effort to shut down harvesting. Authorities say 200 police officers from 3 counties have been placed on special alert, and 40 California Highway Patrolmen have been ordered to the area. Sports is coming up as 91 News continues.
As a public service, we present some simple ways to let crime move into your neighborhood.
Hey, Frank.
Hiya.
I just wanted to tell you, while you were out, a TV repairman came and picked up your set. What's the matter with it?
There's nothing wrong with my TV.
Good heavens, Frank. You mean you've been robbed?
Not my brand new $500 color TV.
Jim, it's been over an hour now, and that strange man's still parked outside. Jim?
What do you care? He's not in front of our house, so mind your own business.
If more neighbors watched out for each other, fewer people would become victims of crime. If you notice something suspicious going on in your neighborhood, don't ignore it. Report it. For a free booklet on neighborhood crime prevention, call toll-free 800-952-5558. That's 800-952-5558. Good neighbors protect each other, so call today. Don't be a pigeon. The proceeding was a public service announcement of this station and the California Crime Resistance Task Force.
Out of the 91 news files. From A to Z.
Under the love of music. If you think you've got big phone bills, wait till you hear this. It seems that a teenage girl in Helsinki, Finland, has run up a $2,500 phone bill for long-distance calls. Everyone knows how teenagers are prone to gab on the phone, but this girl was placing her calls to a British radio music program. Apparently, the Finnish girl waited for her parents to go to sleep, and then she'd sneak off to the telephone and call up the show in Britain that would play all of her favorite hits and racked up $2,500 in telephone calls. But believe it or not, hers didn't even take the cake. It seems that a teenage boy in Finland racked up $4,000 worth of calls to the same British radio station. All for the love of rock and roll music. Maryland State Police inform us today that there is a section of snow covering railroad tracks in Baltimore County that looked like a chocolate sundae. Apparently, a truck driver left his stalled vehicle on the tracks yesterday, and then a train came by and hit the truck, creating an instant chocolate sundae. Seems that the truck had been carrying a cargo of chocolate syrup, which coated the snowy white landscape with a delicious brown topping. And that's from A to Z under Giant Sundae.
Undefeated Indiana State is back in the number one position in the latest Associated Press college basketball poll. The Sycamores, who finished their regular season undefeated at 26-0, collected 51 of 61 first-place ballots and 1,192 points in the balloting by a nationwide panel of sports writers and broadcasters. Indiana State, which beat Drake on Tuesday and crushed Wichita State in its first appearance on a national television Sunday, was named on every ballot, pre-ballot, although the Sycamores were ranked as low as 7th by one voter. Notre Dame is second. The Irish, who were ranked third last week, received 7 first-place votes. UCLA, top-ranked last week, was upset by Washington Thursday night and fell to third. The Bruins received 2 first-place votes. The remainder of last week's top 10 engaged in a game of musical chairs. Michigan State jumped from 7th to 4th. The Spartans received 1 first-place vote. Preseason favorite Duke moved from 6th to 5th place following a victory over North Carolina and a loss to Clemson. Syracuse, 8th last week, jumped 2 notches to 6th, while North Carolina fell from 4th to 7th. Louisiana State was upset by Mississippi State and dropped from 5th to 8th. Arkansas and Marquette swapped the final 2 positions in the top 10, with the Razorbacks moving from 9th to the 9th spot and the Warriors dropping to 10th. Iowa leads the second 10. The Hawkeyes are followed by Temple, Louisville, Texas, DePaul, and Georgetown. Ohio State is 16th. Then comes Detroit, Purdue, and San Francisco. San Francisco is making a second appearance in the top 20 this season. It's the only newcomer in the poll this week. The Dons replaced Vanderbilt, which dropped out after 2 losses. Jane Blaylock shot a 70 for a tournament record 205 total that gave her a 6-stroke victory in the $75,000 LPGA Orange Blossom Classic in St. Petersburg, Florida. Butch Waltz upset second-seeded Guillermo Vilas 7-6, 7-6 in the opening round of a U.S. National Indoor Tennis Tournament in Memphis, Tennessee. Chris Evert beat Wendy Barlow 6-2, 6-1 to gain the second round of a $200,000 women's tennis tournament in Dallas. And attorneys have filed suit in a federal court on behalf of 8 Oklahoma State University athletes against the university, the NCAA, the Big 8 Conference, and some conference officials. The athletes are upset about the handling of a federal program that gives scholarships to college students. Cal Poly has had many All-Americans over the past years. One of the latest additions to the ever-growing list of All-Americans is cross-country star Jim Shankle. 91 Sports reporter Kelly Pierce begins a 3-part series of interviews with Shankle this morning, first by finding out how his parents feel about his competing in cross-country.
What do your parents think? What are their reactions of your big success and stuff? Well, they love it.
Yeah, I
love
think
it. They're very proud of me, and I'm very proud of them, too. So they come to a few of my meets, as many as possible.
Mm-hmm. Have they always pushed you, or?
No, my parents have never, ever pushed me. Never. In fact, my dad tells me quite often that I can quit track anytime I want, you know, if it gets too much of a hassle. You know, it means a lot to me, which is.
Mentally, like, psych yourself up, or? For the big races, yes. For the meets and the low-key meets, I don't even think about it, you know. I get in there and I run as best as I can for the time, but I don't really sit there and think about the race that much for the smaller meets.
That's what I mean, you know, when you push yourself so hard and just go all out and go on these little diets and runs beforehand and everything, and then you come across and you move.
I don't like to lose, but you have to. You can't always win. If you always won, it wouldn't be fun. You know, that's part of competition. And, you know, you prepare yourself for a race the best you can, and you lose, you still.
When this series continues in the next half hour, we'll be talking to Shankel about his experiences a few weeks ago in Bermuda. That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Jay Burks reporting for 91 Sports. Now, here's Paula Chambers with the top stories of the hour.
Thank you, Jay. Vietnam reports fierce fighting today northeast of Hanoi and says its forces wiped out 2,000 Chinese from Friday to yesterday. The official voice of Vietnam says the fighting is concentrated in the Cam Dong area, which sits astride the Red River Delta corridor, running from the frontier to the Vietnamese capital. The broadcast, monitored in Bangkok today, also said two more Chinese companies were decimated in Lang Son province, northeast of Hanoi yesterday, and another 250 Chinese soldiers were killed or wounded in the past 2 days in Phong Tao district of Lai Tau Chau province. Phong Tho is 15 miles inside Vietnam and 190 miles northeast of Hanoi. President Carter has called on China to undertake a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. Treasury Secretary Blumenthal delivered that message to Chinese leaders today in Peking. It was the bluntest statement to date of American opposition to the war. However, intelligence sources in Bangkok noted that the Chinese shows no signs of withdrawal after 10 days of fighting. And, in fact, we're still reinforcing their troops in some frontier areas, including Lang Son. Vietnam claimed yesterday its troops were holding fast in the Cam Dong area and inflicted heavy casualties to the invaders at the other end of the frontier. 91 News reporter Ray Matthews talked to the drama department at Cal Poly and found out some of the back shop talk.
Have you ever wondered how the Cal Poly drama department can put on such great plays as Night Watch without a drama major? Where does the drama department get their actors, their costume designers, and their stage managers? The drama department depends on interested students from other majors to put on the productions. Most students know how to get involved in the acting part of a production because of all the play tryouts in the fall. But how would a student, let's say a business management major who wanted experience in managing people, become a stage manager? I asked the assistant stage manager for the play Night Watch, speech major Mike Hampton, how an interested student could become a stage manager.
Actually, it's really quite simple. You walk in and you volunteer your services, and more than likely they'll be immediately accepted. It's really quite simple to get in to the job, and it's not that difficult, and you do not require that much pre-end experience in order to fulfill the task.
I asked Hampton what was involved in being an assistant stage manager.
basically, as far as the task, as far as what you do is you watch the script and you make sure that they're staying true to the lines and staying true to the stage directions, and you basically are the person that knows most of what is going on stage in terms of lines, in terms of the directions, in terms of all the technical aspects. You have the book on it.
Hampton said that technical aspects meant the physical layout of the stage, the props, lighting, and the sound effects, as well as many other things. Hampton explained that all kinds of majors are represented by students involved in the drama department. There are art students, engineers, and students in communicative arts and humanities. It is rumored that the drama department gets more students from the School of Agriculture than from any other school. Hampton said that it is easy to get involved in the drama department, no matter what major you might be. I asked Hampton how much time was involved in being an assistant stage manager.
For myself, I put in 16 hours a week, and the stage manager puts in 20 hours a week. We practice, generally speaking, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week as we get closer to productions and as we begin the rehearsal schedules. And during that time, we rehearse about 4 to 5 hours a night.
Play productions take about 6 weeks of preparation. It sounds like an exciting and productive use of time. This is Ray Matthew reporting for 91 News.
My public affairs presentation. Smoke. My puppy dog doesn't smoke. My hamsters don't smoke. Are animals smarter than people?
Could be. Fact is, smoke is hazardous to smokers and non-smokers as well. If you don't have a pet, take a tip from your lung association. You can live better without cigarettes. Quitting is tough. Lung illness is tougher. Write to your lung association for free information. They offer this public service message because they care about every breath you take.
Out of the 91 News Files, from A to Z, under Dog Tags for All. A Kentucky legislator says politicians like doctors, teachers, and dogs should be licensed. State Representative Bruce Blythe told fellow House members Tuesday that he will introduce a bill that would require persons seeking public office to be licensed by the state. Think about the rest of our trusted professions, he said. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, even barbers and beauticians must have state government sanction in order to serve the public. We should ask for and expect no less from the people we elect to guide our local and state governments. Blythe said his proposal would require an office seeker to have a basic education, be familiar with the state constitution, have a working knowledge of government function, and possess other necessary requirements to ensure that our candidates are qualified for the job. The license would be good for 4 years. And this story from La Jolla, where some pranksters came up with a unique and destructive way to keep people out of the La Jolla High School gym. Police in La Jolla say the gym doors were sealed shut with super glue. The locks of 8 doors were filled with the glue, so tough that locksmiths couldn't dissolve it or scrape it away. The locks had to be dismantled and rebuilt. And that's from A to Z.
Is at the editor's desk. Lewis Wakeland is engineering. I'm Paula Chambers. First Premier of China says his country's invasion of Vietnam is limited war that will not run a long time. In a related story, President Carter has called on China to undertake a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. The head of Iran's oil industry says his country will resume oil exports next week, and the Israeli cabinet today rejected a U.S. invitation for Prime Minister Begin to attend Camp David summit without Egypt's President Sadat. Details on these stories coming up as 91 News continues.
This winter, your attic may be the warmest part of your house if it isn't insulated. Unfortunately, most of you don't live in your attic, and you can't always afford to have it insulated. That's where the EOC Energy Program can help. They've got the crews, insulation, and everything else to weatherize your house. And it's all free. If your family lives on a small, limited income, call the Energy Program at 544-4355 for details about this free service. Call them today. That's 544-4355. Make a date, avoid the wait. That's an important reminder for all veterans who visit Veterans Administration outpatient clinics. Increasing numbers of veterans requesting medical treatment make it more imperative than ever to make an appointment as far in advance as possible. Also, if you can't keep your appointment, be sure to let the VA know. Avoid delays in VA waiting rooms. Always make a date. Avoid the wait. And don't be a no-show. Cancel your appointment if you can't keep it. A public service message from KCPR and the Veterans Administration.
In national news, First Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping says China's invasion of Vietnam is a limited war that will not last a long time and which should not risk a world conflict. He told reporters in Peking today, "I think our action is limited and will not give rise to the big event." Deng says if the Soviets step on behalf of Vietnam, he thinks they will not take, in his words, too big an action. Deng also says he is not afraid that the fighting will turn public opinion against his country, as Treasury Secretary Michael Blumenthal suggested earlier this week. Deng talked with reporters just before he started a meeting with Blumenthal. President Carter has called on China to undertake a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. The call came in a message given to top Chinese leaders by Treasury Secretary Blumenthal. Blumenthal met with top Chinese for more than an hour in Peking today with Vice Premier Deng. The message, as relayed by Blumenthal to reporters following the meeting, is the bluntest statement to date of U.S. opposition to the continuing border war. In Stockholm, the air control tower at Stockholm's Arlanda Airport says a Soviet plane, which officials believe to be hijacked, has landed and is now parked on an emergency runway. The tower says the crew of the air flight from Moscow has asked for a Swedish police assistance. No further details are immediately available. And the Marxist government of South Yemen claimed it has captured three North Yemeni towns in the latest development of a five-day-old border war. North Yemen has also expressed its willingness to accept Arab mediation in a conflict with its pro-Western neighbor. Indira Gandhi's son, Sanjay, and a former Indian information minister, were sentenced today for destroying a film critical of Mrs. Gandhi's regime. The two men received sentences of 2 years at hard labor, along with fines. About 80 supporters of Mrs. Gandhi, a former Indian prime minister, went on rampage in the crowded courtroom after the sentence was announced. In Tehran, the head of Iran's oil industry says his country will resume oil exports next week and that crude initially will be sold to the highest bidder on the spot market. The oil chief says he hopes Iranian oil will bring $18 to $20 a barrel, a price well above the rate set by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Meanwhile, Iran's prime minister says the government hopes projection will reach 60% of the pre-revolution capacity within 2 months. Iran was the world's second-largest exporter under the Shah. The Israeli cabinet today rejected a U.S. invitation for Prime Minister Begin to attend a Camp David summit without Egypt's President Sadat. Begin said last week's Camp David talks produced no progress, and he accused the Egyptians of hardening their position in a peace treaty. Begin said after the meeting that the cabinet decided he is not in a position to accept the proposed meeting with Egyptian Prime Minister Khalil. The vote against Begin going to Camp David was 14-2. In Washington, a U.S. official who asked not to be identified said, "We're waiting to hear the reason or explanation before making a public comment." In Tokyo, the U.S. ambassador to Japan says Tokyo would be an ideal mediator in the conflict between China and Vietnam. Mike Mansfield points out that Japan enjoys good relations with both the combatants, but he says he hasn't yet discussed his idea with Japanese authorities. Last week, Japan's foreign minister told Vietnam's ambassador to Tokyo that his government would do all it could to help settle the conflict. In Salem, North Carolina, Klansmen and four men in Nazi uniforms shouting, "White power, white power," confronted an opposing crowd yelling, "Ku Klux Klan, scum of the land." That's last night at the library in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The disturbance forced police to close an exhibit of Klan paraphernalia. More than 20 police officers moved into the tiny auditorium of the Forsyth County Public Library when a heated shouting match erupted 45 minutes after the one-day exhibit opened. At least five persons were escorted from the auditorium by officers. Police say two people were charged with disorderly conduct. There were contradicting reports on whether blows were exchanged in the packed auditorium, but officers were jostled in the shoving between the opposing groups. Nearly 200 people, about evenly divided between black and white, had crowded into the windowless hall to look at the display of Klan robes, publications, and other items. A new document on radiation dangers is due from the administration today. Sources outside the government say it will criticize unnecessary X-rays and will call for more research on the question of how much radiation is dangerous. In California headlines, a San Francisco judge has postponed a decision on what to do with 565 unburied bodies of People's Temple's members. An earthquake shook the Los Angeles metropolitan area late last night, and Lieutenant Governor Mike Kerr blasts out against California's Farm Labor Board. 91 News will have details on these and all the California news coming up with 91 News in just a moment.
KCPR is making Monday night the night to listen to the radio. Every Monday night at 9, KCPR presents An Hour With. An Hour With is 1 hour of uninterrupted music with your favorite group. Make Monday night your night to listen to the radio. Join KCPR and the Sheriff for An Hour With every Monday night right here on KCPR.
91 News talked to some students about the milk carton race being held out at Laguna Lake. Missy Arnold has that feature.
Brave students will be testing their gluing and floating ability at Laguna Lake during the third annual milk carton boat race this Saturday. More than 25 boats are expected to compete for trophies given by the Los Lucheros Dairy Club. The boats can be entered in three classes: people power, mechanical power, and sail power. Trophies will be awarded for first place in each class, as well as for the most imaginative boat and the boat with the most milk cartons. Each boat entry received 80 milk cartons from the Los Lucheros Dairy Club. Leanne Burning, chairperson of the race, said between 2,000 and 2,500 empty milk cartons were donated by creameries from all over the state. Students have been planning and working on their boats since the beginning of February. Dairy Club advisor Tim LaSalle said one club showed him blueprints for their boat. I got a description of that boat from Tim Blockinger, a member of the Cal Poly Sail Club.
The boat that we've designed is approximately 20 feet long and about 5 feet wide. It's a catamaran, which means it has two hulls. Total support will be supplied by 212 milk cartons. We figure it'll hold up about 800 to 850 pounds. The boat's going to be about 20 feet long overall. There's going to be a bowsprit on the front. And there will be 140 square feet of sail on two different masts.
I asked Tim what they use to hold the milk cartons together.
We use contact cement. I had an uncle work at Lockheed, the chemist there, and he went and tested a whole bunch of different contact cements for us, and he came up with this grip contact cement, which just did an absolutely superb job.
Tim Bench, a mechanical engineering student, designed a unique entry for the People Power Division.
I've called the water walker. Essentially, large water skis, and they're going to be approximately 20 milk cartons under each ski. And the principle is someone is going to be in sort of like water ski bindings, and they are going to walk on the water. There are going to be small hinge paddles on the bottom side of each ski that will allow you to slide the ski forward. But when you press backwards, the paddle will drop, and that's how you get your power. You'll probably have a couple of small keels so you don't do the split from the water. We haven't worked that out yet. But it's sort of just like walking on big shoes or something over the lake.
You'd have to move your legs back and forth.
Yeah, it would be similar to cross-country skiing, long strides.
Last year, over 350 people watched the boat race. The milk carton boats not only help publicize milk, but the race involves campus clubs and the community. This is Missy Arnold reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
And in California news, in San Francisco, a San Francisco judge has postponed a decision on what to do with the 565 unburied bodies of People's Temple victims. Superior Court Judge Ira Brown Jr. is to determine whether temple funds should be allocated to transport the bodies from the East Coast to California. He said yesterday, however, that using a caravan of trucks to bring the bodies across cross-country would be, in his words, very unwise. The judge has not said when to expect a decision in the case. Brown listened yesterday to 2 hours of arguments from attorneys representing funeral directors, relatives of temple members, the State Department, and the Justice Department. The bodies from November's mass suicide murder ritual at Jonestown, Guyana, included 255 that are unidentified. All the bodies are being stored in a jet hangar in Dover, Delaware. Lawrence Singleton was called before a San Diego judge yesterday for pretrial motions on charges that he raped and mutilated a 15-year-old girl whose arms were chopped off with an axe. Superior Court Judge Earl Moss Jr. has ordered the proceedings closed to the public until a jury is selected. The defense and prosecution both have agreed to the move. The case is being transferred to San Diego on change in venue. Judge Moss says jury selection will begin tomorrow. Singleton is a 51-year-old merchant seaman with home in Sparks, Nevada, and San Pablo, California. He has been jailed in San Diego in lieu of $200,000 bond. In Hawthorne, an earthquake shook the Los Angeles metropolitan area late last night, but authorities report no damage. The 11:08 p.m. quake registered 3.1 on the Richter scale and was centered 3 miles northeast of suburban Hawthorne. Law enforcement officials say there were apparently no damage from the earthquake. The Richter scale gauges the energy released by a quake as measured by ground motion on a seismograph. Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb says California's Farm Labor Board is not doing the job the public expects and adds that substantial amendments are necessary in the state's farm labor law. Curb is serving this week as acting governor. While Governor Brown attended yesterday's session of the National Governors Conference in Washington, D.C., Curb held a closed-door meeting with growers. After that gathering, the Republican lieutenant governor indirectly blamed the Imperial Valley lettuce strike on the ALRB. As he summed it up, the threat this poses to public safety and to basic private property rights is pretty substantial. And I think it's obvious that the Agriculture Labor Relations Act is not doing what everybody thought it would do, and that substantial amendments are necessary. What effect will the struggles in Iran have on the price of gasoline here in the United States? Here with a report in San Francisco is Bruce Tokars.
The lack of Iranian oil production will probably start costing us at the gas pumps by summer, with prices rising to a dollar or more a gallon by the end of the year. But UCLA economist Larry Kimball says he's less concerned about the impact of gas pricing on our troubled economy than other elements.
Probably a dollar a gallon will be a pinch, and it'll have some effects, but they will be fairly diffused. It alone would not, for example, put us into a recession. The other forces that I'm really more concerned about are the general rate of inflation and whether that can be brought under control without maybe going through a mild recession.
Dr. Kimball says the 1973 oil crisis was far more severe to us because of the high level of uncertainty about the Middle East. The current crisis, he says, is more predictable and therefore will have less of an impact on the overall economy. From the University of California, this is Bruce Tokars reporting.
Weather throughout San Luis Obispo County calls for fair skies through tomorrow with variable low clouds late tonight and Wednesday. Highs are expected to reach the 60s with the temperature dipping into the 30s tonight. Variable winds are from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Currently, the temperature on Paso Robles is 35 degrees. It's 44 degrees in Atascadero, 52 degrees in Arroyo Grande. Santa Maria has a temperature of 42 degrees, and in San Luis Obispo, it's 52 degrees. Campus and local news are coming up when 91 News continues.
What's the difference between a generic drug and one with a name brand? Well, according to the Food and Drug Administration, most of the difference is in the price. All drugs must meet the same federal standards for purity, safety, strength, and effectiveness, but generic drugs are usually cheaper. If you want to buy them, urge your doctor to prescribe generic drugs rather than brand name drugs. For more information, send for a free copy of the booklet, Generic Drugs, How Good Are They? Write the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Some critical issues concerning high school preparation for college mathematics. That's the title of the speech to be given by Dr. Shirley Hill on Thursday, March 1st. The lecture, which is being sponsored by the Cal Poly Mathematics Department, will take place at 11 in the morning in room 148 of the Mathematics and Home Economics building. Dr. Hill will also give an evening presentation discussing the role of basics. That's in mathematics teaching. The lecture will be held at 7:30 in room B5 of the Science Building. The final lecture in the winter portion of the Arts and Humanities Lecture Series will deal with cartoons and how they have changed in the last few years. Dale Hale will discuss questions such as, are comics as funny as they used to be? Has censorship hurt the comic strips? And is there a problem with violence in TV's cartoons? That lecture will be presented in University Union Room 220 at 11 in the morning on Thursday, March 1st. The spring portion of the lecture series will cover the subject of love and will begin on April 5th. Set to appear in Chumash Auditorium this Sunday is the rock group Ambrosia. The group is scheduled one show only for 8 in the evening. Tickets for the festival seating concert will be $6.50 in advance at Boo Boo Records and Cheap Thrills for the general public and $7.50 at the door. Students can purchase advance tickets only at the ticket desk of the University Union. They'll be $6 in advance and $7 at the door. Age limit for the concert, which will be opened by a special guest act, is 16. Proof of age may be requested. Architectural historian Charles Jenks will be speaking on postmodern architecture this Thursday in the Cal Poly Theater. Jenks' lecture will begin at 8 Thursday evening and is presented as part of the continuing series of campus talks by distinguished architects and architectural historians. Admission is free and the public is invited to attend. Jenks is the author or co-author of 6 books on architectural history. San Luis Obispo County, city governments, and school districts were allocated $1.6 million from various state fees and taxes this month. The allocations were divided up into revenues coming from state sales and use fees, combined highway users tax, and motor vehicle license fees. Also, fees collected from trailer coach licenses. School districts benefited only from the trailer coach monies. Of the $1.6 million allocated, $507,000 returned to the San Luis Obispo County. 91 News has found out some new developments in the Atascadero State Hospital sicko that took place with state workers last month. Dave Curley has that story.
46 of the employees being punished by the head of Atascadero State Mental Hospital for staging a sick out earlier this month are taking action. They say it wasn't fair for hospital administrator Dr. Samuel Yoki to punish them for staying off the job in protest over changes in prisoner lockup rules. The employees say they have every right to strike over unsafe working conditions, and they say that, among others, they'll take their dissatisfaction with Yoki's punitive measures to OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. For 91 News, this is Dave Curley.
Basic informative publications about solar energy are now available for consumers, manufacturers, and installers of solar energy equipment from the State Department of Consumer Affairs. One publication, Consumer Guidelines for Buying Solar Energy Systems, emphasizes the possibilities, challenges, and limitations of solar energy. Another publication, Solar Advertising Guidelines, was produced to help industry members use advertising effectively and avoid problems. The new publications are available from the Department of Consumer Affairs, Solar Insulation Unit, 1020 N Street, Sacramento, California. The zip code on that is 95814. Mayor candidate Lynn Cooper talked to reporter Leslie Bensaka about the growth rate in San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo mayor candidate Lynn Cooper says San Luis Obispo has a fairly slow growth rate and that the city will continue to grow slowly.
We have a relatively slow growth pattern, 1 to 2% per year. The new housing element's talking about 400 to 600 new units being built per year. This type of growth certainly is an indication of what's to happen in the past. Probably would be a fairly good guideline for the future. As we all know, annexations are almost something of the past. No developer in his right mind would attempt an annexation to this city under today's conditions. So therefore, we must work toward developing and guiding and properly guiding what is to be developed within the city limits.
Cooper has lived in San Luis Obispo for 9 years and is co-owner of Poland Trucker and Cooper Real Estate Agency. This is Leslie Bensaka reporting for 91 News.
Out of the 91 News files, from A to Z,
under tax information. Officials at the Fresno Internal Revenue Service Center are finding that some taxpayers are shortchanging themselves by misreading their W-2 forms. Some taxpayers are using their FICA, or Social Security tax, withheld instead of their federal income tax withheld to compute their federal income tax returns. By using the wrong figure, these individuals are cheating themselves on their refunds.
FICA tax withholding is usually less than federal income tax withholding. The taxpayer therefore pays additional tax in error. While the service center has identified some of these returns during normal processing and refunds are being issued, taxpayers are urged to check their returns. If they find they've made this error in prior years or on their current return, they should file Form 1040X, amended U.S. Individual Income Tax Return, to claim their additional refund. From A to Z under Tax Information.
Gospel singer and songwriter Pam Mark Hall will appear in concert Saturday, March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo. The free concert is open to the public and begins at 7:30 in the evening. The event is sponsored by the Cal Poly Roger Williams Fellowship. Don't miss this opportunity to hear Pam Mark Hall, free March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo.
Chinese Vice Premier Deng was quoted by a Japanese news service today as saying preparations are being made to rejoin the Olympic movement for next year's Summer Games in Moscow. The subject was apparently will come before the International Olympic Committee at its executive meeting on March 9th. Second-seeded Chris Evert had little trouble in disposing of 18-year-old Wendy Barlow last night in the first round of a $200,000 women's tennis tournament in Dallas. The players split the first four games before Evert took command on the way to a 6-2-6-1 victory. Four-seeded Diane Fromholtz and fifth-seeded Virginia Wade also were winners last night, but sixth-seeded Carrie Reed was upset by Linda Siegel. Top-seeded Martina Navratilova will play her first match today. Los Angeles Dodgers chairman of the board Walter O'Malley is in a Mayo Clinic. He's in the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota today. He was rushed there yesterday after complaining of dizziness while riding in a golf cart at the Dodgers' spring training base in Vero Beach, Florida. A team official says the illness does not appear to be serious, but that O'Malley was taken to the clinic as a precautionary measure. A Pennsylvania millionaire has reportedly offered to put up half of the $12 million that a group of Baltimore investors needs to buy the Baltimore Orioles. Members of the local group say Ken Pollock, described as a baseball nut, would become one of the four or five general partners. The group says Pollock is committed to keeping the team in Baltimore. 91 sports reporter Kelly Pierce continues her three-part series of interviews with Jim Schangle with part two. This segment deals with Schangle's recent trip to compete in the Bermuda tournament that was sponsored and paid for by Nike.
For one thing, I felt better in the half marathon. I didn't take that race very seriously, and I ran pretty well for the first time ever running that distance, I feel. It was a very difficult course. There was more hills than there were, you know, downhills. It didn't end in the same place that it had taken off, so therefore that was possible. I did really well because of the competition there, too. In Bermuda, when I ran the 10,000 meters, I took off too fast, and I paid for it in the latter part of the race. I didn't feel I ran as good a race in Bermuda because I did take off too fast, and I lost a few places within the last mile, and I usually don't do that. Just the main thing that stuck out in my mind is how well Nike treated us. You know, we went with the Nike team, and they went all out. I mean, they paid for everything, and in fact, even in Bermuda, they rented us mopeds, so we got to see see the island, you know. And, you know, it was just the way Nike, you know, treated us was the most thing that stood out in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an option with them or future plans to work for them? Or?
No, not at this time, I don't. And, you know, I still have another year, maybe a year and a quarter left in college, so I still have quite a bit of time, and I wouldn't mind having an option from them, but at this time I don't.
When this interview concludes next half hour, we'll talk to Schangle about the highlights of his career and some random thoughts about his coach, Steve Miller. That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Jay Burks reporting. And now, here's Paula Chambers with the top stories of the hour.
Thank you, Jay. In Washington, the government is experimenting with some changes in the federal school lunch program to help reduce waste while meeting children's nutritional requirements. The focus of the current discussions is bread, which has to be served with most meals in the program. In some parts of the country, ethnic foods are popular, including pasta and rice, and officials are concerned that requiring that bread to be served with these meals will lead to too many calories, overweight children, or an annual amount of wasted food. So some 380 local school districts are experimenting with new meal patterns, allowing enriched or whole grain rice, macaroni, noodles, and other pasta to be considered as substitutes for bread. School districts that want to participate in the experiment can do so with the permission from their state education department. Under the normal rules, the only substitutes allowed for bread are products made from whole grain or enriched meal or flour, such as tacos, pizza, hush puppies, and flatbreads. For those interested in the workings of student government, 91 News reporter Ray Matthew explored the Cal Poly government system.
Many students at Cal Poly are unaware of the important issues that the ASI student government deals with. Because of this ignorance, some students are led to conclude that student government is a farce. According to Cal Poly ASI President Larry Robinson, there have been very many important issues brought before the student government this year, like tuition.
I can tell you right now that I think this campus really helped save off tuition for another year. With all the effort that Scott put in as chairman of the tuition task force and with all the student contributions over the last quarter break, really big impact on the governor as far as the tuition issue went, and, of course, the board of trustees.
Robinson also explained that the ASI had a tremendous role in bringing back Summer Quarter to Cal Poly. Robinson said that the ASI has done a great deal to streamline student government procedures and to increase student awareness of what the ASI is all about.
Now, no one realizes that we're a $1 million corporation, that it's spending your money. You know, it's like you're a shareholder in the corporation. You spend $20 a year on us.
I asked Robinson what the ASI's goals would be for the rest of the year.
Another goal is to strengthen the city-student relationship. In the past couple of years, it's been really kind of strained, mainly because of the housing problem and the housing charges in San Luis Obispo. So I'm trying to work to where students and non-students can get together in this community and not become warring type taxes. Another problem that I see is student voice in city governance. That's my fourth goal. The problem here, of course, is that I'm a candidate now, and so this may sound self-serving, but I made this goal a long time ago before I was ever running for any kind of office. And the funny thing is that I think students are becoming more vocal in what happens in the city, and I think that we're meeting that goal as well. We're getting students informed about what is going on at the city level so that they understand that, yes, it does affect them, and yes, they can have an impact on the decisions that the city council makes.
Robinson explained that the students elected in this year's election will have a crucial impact on the city housing issues. Robinson explained that if students turn out by the thousands and support a candidate who backs more student housing in San Luis Obispo, there is no way for the city to ignore them. The next ASI elections are coming up in May. If you want a voice about what happens to Poly students, election forms are available at the ASI offices in room 217 of the University Union. This is Ray Matthew reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
Good Time with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd. Mustang Left, starting at 9 p.m. The cost is $1 to hall card holders and $1.50 to other Poly students. A dance, that's right, contest will be held, and prizes, of course, will be awarded. So come on out and dance with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, in the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. Dance, and have a good time.
Out of the 91 News Files. From A to Z, under Using the Old Noggin. This story shows that America is truly a free enterprise system, and some people take that to heart or to head. Well, listen to the story. It seems that Ray Valline used to be a trash collector, sanitation engineer, until he got the bright idea to try and make a living here in California.
California by having advertising messages painted on his shaved head. But he wasn't satisfied here in the Golden State, so he took his unusual trade to the Deep South to see if the Southerners would go for the gimmick. But after a three-day market test in Baton Rouge showed him that merchants are not willing to shell out $300 to $500 a day for a human billboard, Ray Valline is heading back to the Golden State, where this type of act is more accepted. As he puts it, "I had success in California, but I guess others don't appreciate someone using their head." That's from A to Z under Using the Old Noggin.
This is 91 News, all day, from KCPR, San Luis Obispo.
Tim Tomasik is at the editor's desk, Lewis Wakeland is engineering, I'm Ray Matthew. Headlining local and campus news, the Cuesta College Board of Trustees heard a presentation last night by non-teaching employees requesting salary increases. A preliminary injunction has been issued against the American Indians at Point Conception. Two Iranian students at Cal Poly have been affected by the financial problems in their country. And details on these stories and other local happenings coming up as 91 News continues.
On Wednesday, April 11th, the San Luis Obispo Recreation Department is sponsoring a trip to Magic Mountain. The cost of $25 includes round-trip bus transportation and admission, and all rides are free with admission. This trip will be during Easter vacation, which provides an opportunity for school-aged people to enjoy one of California's most popular amusement parks. Magic Mountain features many fun and exciting rides, including Colossus, the tallest, longest, and fastest wooden roller coaster in the world. And the music is always good at Magic Mountain, with live singers and bands located throughout the park. The bus will leave from the Recreation Center at 864 Santa Rosa Street at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, April 11th, and will return at midnight the same day. The trip is open to anyone 10 years or older. For more information, call 541-1000, extension 62. Remember, the one cost of $25 includes transportation and all attractions. Come have fun with us at Magic Mountain.
Two Iranian students at Cal Poly have been adversely affected by the financial problems in their country. Parvis Buzapour, president of the Iranian Students Association on campus, told the Telegram Tribune that it was to be expected that the new government in Iran has its own problems to solve before they can begin to think about students living outside the country. According to Debbie Maple of the Students Accounts Office, Buzapour and other students are already behind in their school payments, but Chancellor Glenn Dumke has sent a directive to UC campuses stating that the students may remain in school for the time being, despite the debts. A film on the late literary figure Gertrude Stein will be shown on campus tomorrow night. The movie will be shown starting at 7 and 9:15 in room 123 of the Agricultural Engineering Building. Tickets for the film, entitled When This You See, Remember Me, will be $1 at the door. A film on the settling of Canadian prairies by women will also be presented. The program is being sponsored by the Cal Poly's Women's Collectives. Anyone interested in making a pledge to a roller skater for charity can make pledges up until 2 p.m. tomorrow. 25 Cal Poly students will be skating in the parking lot of the Safeway at the corner of Marsh and Johnson from 9:30 until 11:30 tomorrow morning. Pledges may be made at a booth in the plaza of the University Union. Proceeds will go to the San Luis Obispo chapter of the American Red Cross and to help finance attendance of members of the Cal Poly chapter of the California Parks and Recreation Society to their forthcoming conference in San Diego. All students are invited to a slideshow about the California State Printing Plant to be shown at 11 this morning. The show will be in room 204 of the Graphics Building. For more information, contact Sue Sheehan in room C45 of the Graphic Arts Building. A San Luis Obispo market lost a six-pack of beer and less than $10 in cash early this morning in a holdup. The suspect, described as a white male with dark hair, mustache, sideburns, and a scar over his left eye, laid the beer on the counter, then pulled a knife on the clerk and demanded the money in the cash register. The clerk persuaded the man to flee on foot with the broom and the small amount of cash. The Cuesta College Board of Trustees last night heard a presentation by non-teaching employees requesting salary increases. The presentation was given at a public hearing at 8 o'clock in the college's library and administration building. As well as a 9.6 pay increase, the employees are asking for improvements in vacation, health care, and other fringe benefits. The board took no action on the matter last night and will state their position at another hearing on March 12th. A preliminary injunction has been issued against American Indians at Point Conception. Kevin Riggs has that story.
A preliminary injunction issued against a group of American Indians prohibits them from occupying dwellings near the site of the proposed liquefied natural gas terminal at Point Conception. But Santa Barbara Superior Court Judge Bruce Dodds made new ruling yesterday on what access to the land should be granted to the Indians for religious purposes. The judge says he'll decide that issue by Thursday. The injunction was sought by Western LNG Terminal Associates, which plans to build the terminal. The Indians consider that area sacred. This is Kevin Riggs reporting for 91 News.
And now we continue our four-part series on the candidates running for office of San Luis Obispo City Mayor with Part 2. 91 News reporter Nancy Bauer reports.
53-year-old Kenneth Schwartz has served as mayor of San Luis Obispo for 10 years and has lived in the city since 1954. He served on the City Planning Commission from 1959 until 1967. His community work includes help on the Economic Development Committee, sign ordinance, and downtown street tree committees. He also participated in the preparation of the original general plan for the city. Schwartz graduated from University of Southern California with a degree in architecture and has taught at Cal Poly since 1952. For Want 91 News, I'm Nancy Bauer.
Currently, the temperatures in the San Luis Obispo County area are Paso Robles 35, Atascadero 44, Arroyo Grande 57, Santa Maria 42, and San Luis Obispo 52. We'll be back with more news when 91 News continues.
Today in a school in this city, there's an empty seat in the middle of a classroom. It belongs to a small child named Pete. Pete's now lying in a hospital bed, and he misses his teachers and friends very much. This little boy and other children like him need your help, your gift of blood. Please call your Tri-County's Blood Bank and share a pint of life. For Pete's sake, don't wait. Call 543-4290 for your appointment now. That's the Tri-County's Blood Bank. Give a gift of life. For Pete's sake.
The fighting along the Chinese-Vietnamese border continued today, and an editorial in the official Peking Communist newspaper, The People's Daily, says the Chinese troops won't leave until Hanoi agrees to negotiate. New York Representative Elizabeth Holtzman has just returned to the United States from a trip to Vietnam and says Hanoi might allow an independent government in Cambodia headed by Prince Sihanouk. Sources say President Carter has asked Congress for the power to evoke several fuel-saving steps, including gasoline rationing and the closure of gasoline stations during weekends. The Justice Department has asked a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by Senator Barry Goldwater, challenging President Carter's authority to cancel the treaty with Taiwan. I filed a report on the Nazarene Student Union, the Mission Corps, that is. Here is that feature.
Of all the clubs there are on campus, there is one which has a habit of bringing big-name performers and great-sounding bands to Cal Poly, and it's not the ESI Concerts Committee. That group is the Nazarene Student Mission Corps. I interviewed Greg Sills, the Corps' president, Mike Robinson, the vice president, and the group's consultant, Reverend Paul Huddle, to find out what the Nazarene Student Mission Corps was all about.
We're basically the group from the Church of the Nazarene here in town, which is recognized on campus as a Cal Poly organization. And we sort of serve to represent the church on campus. And we've done that in the past traditionally by putting on a lot of Christian-oriented concerts.
The performers that the Nazarene Student Mission Corps has scheduled to appear at Cal Poly this spring are B.J. Thomas, Baba Yala, Ernie and Debbie Rutino, and Sweet Comfort. When I asked how the club, which is affiliated with about 250 Cal Poly students, could bring such big-name performers as B.J. Thomas to Cal Poly, Reverend Huddle responded,
"It's perseverance and faith."
"Is it easy to bring big names to Cal Poly?" Reverend Huddle said no, explaining that there were many obstacles. In the case of B.J. Thomas, Huddle said, "You have to find out when he'll be on the West Coast, because you just don't fly his entire entourage of 15 musicians to California from anywhere in the country.
It costs too much."
"Once you know when they'll be on the coast," Huddle explained, "you have to match that date with the date that's open on your local calendar." I asked if there was any way of knowing whether there would be enough student participation for the Nazarene Student Mission Corps to break even. He said, "No, it's total faith.
We are out on a limb, and we basically have individuals who will financially back it. But there are formulas that we go on, a percentage of the seating capacity, plus certain interest points, that we have to work out a formula so we know how many tickets we need to sell at what price to break even."
Reverend Huddle explained that because the Corps was a university organization, they did not have to pay the performer ahead of time. He said that the Corps makes little, if any, profits, but has to pay the ESI 10% of whatever profit they make because they use university facilities. The concerts coming up will be Ernie and Debbie Rutino, February 25th, for an evening service at the Nazarene Church. Ron Salisbury, formerly of the JC Power Outlet, who will be here with Fred Field, formerly of Love Song, on March 10th. Bob Ayala, who performed last year with the Children of the Day, will be at the Nazarene Church March 23rd. B.J. Thomas is double billed with Sweet Comfort for April 5th. I'm Ray Matthew reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
When it rains in California, remember that our summers are long, hot, and dry. Remember that California survives on the water it saves, on water stored in reservoirs and groundwater basins. And remember, the California Department of Water Resources wants you to save water all year long. Save every last drop. It saves energy, too.
When a mill closes down and puts 5,000 people out of work, the effect on the community can be as disastrous as an earthquake or hurricane. In Youngstown, Ohio, workers are finding a solution by getting together to buy and manage that mill themselves. Father Ed Stanton explains.
We're actually trying to do something to help ourselves. That's the theme of the whole campaign. Basically, what we're trying to do is open a mill or reopen a mill and put 5,000 men and women back to work, or as many as we can.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
News reports from Kuwait say the government has told its oil customers it is raising the price of crude oil by $1.20 a barrel. The reports say the price increase was necessitated by the fluctuations in the world oil markets following the stoppage of oil exports from Iran. Similar decisions have already been taken by the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Algeria, Libya, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq. Administration sources say President Carter wants congressional authority to order coupon-type gasoline rationing, along with three less stringent mandatory conservation measures for the use in severe emergency services. Sources say Carter's proposed standby measures to save fuel include weekend service station closings, temperature limits for public buildings, and a ban on non-essential outdoor advertising lighting. Imposing bill all the steps short of rationing reportedly would save almost a million barrels of oil a day. China said it will not withdraw from Vietnam until Hanoi agrees to negotiate. The Chinese claim to have put 17,000 Vietnamese troops out of action and to have destroyed or disabled seven missile bases in 10 days of fighting. China also says it has taken the war's first reported prisoners of war. The Japanese Kyoto News Service, in a dispatch from Peking, quotes official documents saying several thousands of Vietnamese prisoners of war have been transported into Chinese territory. The son of former Prime Minister Indira Gandhi of India has been sentenced to 2 years in jail for destroying a film about political corruption. in New Delhi. In a New Delhi court, the 32-year-old Sanjay Gandhi was sentenced, along with the former Minister of Information and Broadcasting in Ms. Gandhi's cabinet. More and more people are living longer these days. Greg Santos of the California Medical Association has this feature on old age.
Out of the 91 news file, from A to Z,
under mistaken identity. The police in Antwerp, Belgium have reported a kidnapping, but the three armed kidnappers apparently got the wrong man late Friday as they abducted a 42-year-old janitor instead of his employer, a wealthy diamond dealer. Police report that the trio drove up to the garage at the merchant's home, saw some behind the wheel of the car, grabbed him, pushed him into their car, and drove off. But the merchant, identified only as Mr. Glasslicer, was inside his apartment at the time, and the man that the bandits got was his janitor, Francis Aspers, who was just parking the car. But this may seem funny to us, but it's not so funny to the janitor, or to the infuriated kidnappers who nabbed the wrong man. So far, neither the abductors nor Aspers has been heard of. That's from A to Z under mistaken identity.
Brenda Spencer will be tried as an adult for last month's sniper attack on San Diego schoolyard, during an elementary school principal and custodian were killed and nine persons wounded. Following a 90-minute closed-door hearing yesterday, Judge William Toad, Jr. ordered the teenager to stand trial as an adult on two murder charges and nine assault counts. Arraignment was set for Tuesday. The girl is accused of opening fire with a .22-caliber rifle from her home across the street from Cleveland Elementary School, killing Principal Burton Ragg and Custodian Mike Schar as students were arriving for class. 18 Hare Krishna members have filed a $1.65 million suit against the city of Los Angeles and several policemen for allegedly violating their constitutional rights, when they were cited for or arrested while soliciting at Los Angeles International Airport. The Superior Court suit filed yesterday alleges that 18 plaintiffs were falsely cited or arrested at a total of 33 times during December 1977 and January 1978 while exercising their constitutionality guaranteed freedoms of expression and religion. The suit seeks $50,000 in general and punitive damages for each of the 33 instances. Today may bring the first steps toward an injunction limiting the number of persons on Imperial Valley picket lines. The State Agricultural Board has been asked to limit picketing. It, in turn, has asked the Imperial County Superior Court to schedule a hearing this afternoon on the subject. About 360 pickets were out yesterday. No violence was reported. Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb may sign his first legislation as acting governor today. The Senate, reacting to angry phone calls from business taxpayers, voted on a bill to reduce the new anti-litter tax. The upper house exactly 2 weeks ago hastily voted to repeal the entire tax without the benefit of committee hearings, but the bill was amended in the assembly to instead scale back the controversial levy. President Carter is awaiting a formal go-ahead from Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin to schedule another round of Camp David summit talks in hopes of securing final terms of a Mideast peace treaty. Carter reportedly expects to start the new summit talks on Thursday with Begin and Egyptian Prime Minister Mustafa Kahil. It is believed that the fall of Iran and other political developments in the area have added a note of urgency to the intenseness of a treaty. Egyptian President Sadat is letting Kahil, who has the same title but not the same amount of authority as Begin, carry the ball during the initial round of bargaining, but there are indications that when the time comes for signing, Sadat will fly to the United States to meet with Begin and Carter. 91 News reporter Tom Hiscox has an interesting feature with a San Luis Obispo man who doubles as a Cal Poly maintenance man at night and is the leader of a rock band during the day.
By day, he cleans bathrooms in college dormitories. At night, he's the lead guitarist for the local rock group Blazing Heart. Jeff Malman has been a Cal Poly custodian for 5 years. He's been a musician for much longer.
When I was about 2 years old, I had a plastic banjo that I loved, that I used to see just other people around playing the guitar. And I always just went, wow, I'd really like to do that. And when I was in fourth grade, there was this little girl I liked that could play the guitar, and I couldn't, and that really blew me away, and it stuck in my mind more and more. And I just saw people doing this and that, and then my father bought me one day. I was about 13 or so. That was about the time of the Beatles and stuff.
Like many successful musicians before him, Malman says he has had no formal musical training.
I took one guitar lesson and learned Mary Had a Little Lamb for $3.50 and immediately realized that that was the fool's route to go, so I just kind of just listened to other musicians.
Malman played with various bands throughout junior high school and later with an Atascadero band known as Revenge before forming Blazing Heart with two other Cal Poly musicians. 28-year-old musician describes his band for.
We do basically hardcore rock and roll, thunderous kind of music, Zeppelin style, wanted vintage 60s stuff that made music what it is today.
The newly formed trio practices in Malman's Cayucas home and is hoping to build a strong reputation locally before trying for the big time.
Those things I think you kind of have to make happen. So we're going to see how this band goes and wherever the Lord wants us to go, we think that we'll go there.
But Malman is keeping his fingers crossed.
Nobody knows the future. You never know what's going to happen. We could just do this one weekend thing and be gone forever. We could go to Stardom. You never can tell.
The custodian guitarist, who also writes some of the group's music, explains what one of his personal goals is.
Probably just getting to the point where I'm satisfied with what I'm doing and getting a grip on things. You know, feeling in control, where I'm comfortable, I'm having a good time, and it's not a lot of work when I go to perform.
For now, Malman will continue cleaning bathrooms, and the rest of the band will stay students and trust the Lord to pave their way.
God is going to guide us, and if he wants us to do anything, it'll happen. I believe there's a big plan for everything, and if the Lord wants us to be in L.A. doing it, we'll be in L.A. doing it. If the Lord wants us just to stay in Cayucas and play for the people of Cal Poly, we'll do that, and we'll accept it and be happy.
This is Tom Hiscox reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
The American Optometric Association invites you to take part in a small fantasy, an eye-to-eye talk.
Hi there, we're your eyes, and we have something to say. Sorry, it has to be a complaint. Look at us, we're changing, getting a bit older, slightly out of shape. Please bring us in for an optometric examination. It can make us and the rest of you feel better. Because we'll see better. Are you paying attention?
Say yes to your eyes. Say yes to vision care.
Learning to cook in your microwave? Here are some tips from the Food and Drug Administration. Avoid using metal pans or aluminum foil because they can block microwaves and cause the food to cook unevenly. Metals can also cause an uneven buildup of heat and could even damage the oven. And don't use your microwave oven in home canning, because the cooking temperature and time are not sufficient to destroy bacteria. To get a free copy of the booklet, Microwave Ovens, send a postcard to the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Atlanta Braves General Manager Bill Lucas says Bob Horner will become a holdout if he does not report to the club's camp in West Palm Beach tomorrow. The National League Rookie of the Year is involved in a contract dispute with the Braves. The New York Mets invited veteran right-hander Nelson Bryles to their training camp today for a tryout. Bryles had a 4-4 record last season before he was released by the Baltimore Orioles. Former Southern California pitcher Bill Bordley joined the San Francisco Giants yesterday and participated in a brief workout at Casa Grande, Arizona. Bordley was picked up by the Giants in a special draft last week after refusing to negotiate with the Cincinnati Reds, who selected him in last month's amateur draft. Wolf Perry and Kimberly Belton led a school record 68% shooting night as Stanford upset Oregon State 79-76 in yesterday's Pac-10 conference basketball competition. Perry canned 10 of 15 shots en route to a 23-point performance, 19 of those points in the second half of the game at Stanford. Belton hit 9 of 10 shots and scoring 21 points. As a team, the Cardinals made 31 of 45 attempts. Stanford, after overcoming 10 straight points by Oregon State midway through the first half, led 38-36 at intermission and stretched that to a 56-42 in the second half before Oregon State came back. The final margin was as close as the Beavers could come. Steve Johnson hit 9 of 13 shots for Oregon State in leading both teams with 25 points. Oregon State, which had hoped to get an at-large NCAA bid, is now in third place with an 11-6 conference record and an 18-8 overall mark. Stanford is 6-10 and 12-13 overall. If Michigan State, Ohio State, and Iowa wind up in a three-way tie for first place in the Big Ten, the Spartans would get the nod in the NCAA's postseason tournament on the basis of head-to-head competition. In this segment, 91 sports reporter Kelly Pierce concludes her three-part series of interviews with cross-country star Jim Schenkel. Now we'll focus on some career highlights of Schenkel and some random thoughts about his coach, Steve Miller.
Last year was probably my best year ever in track. I won the 5,000 and the 10,000 nationals, which was probably the most memorable. And that was due only, not only through myself, but due to the coach also, the work he put in to me, you know, for me. And that was probably the highlight so far.
Do you think of Coach Miller as a coach?
Well, in high school, I had three coaches. The first coach I was there when I was a freshman was an excellent coach, I felt. but after he left my freshman year, and we had two other coaches, and I did not respect them as coaches. I respected them as people, but not as coaches. They didn't, you know, they didn't have the qualities that I wanted in a coach. But when I came here under Steve Simmons, he was a decent coach, but he was more towards sprint, the sprinters. You know, he was sprint orientated, and distance he didn't know that much about. He was decent, but just distance he didn't have the knowledge that I was looking for. So I left. And I would have probably never ever came back to Cal Poly if it wasn't for Steve Miller. I have a lot of respect for him. In fact, he's probably one of the most people I respect, you know, highly, very highly. He has a lot of knowledge about track and field and about distance running, sprinting. He's just an all-around type of guy. He's just excellent. He's a great motivator.
You don't have to keep saying all these nice things.
Well, you know, we do have our differences. You know, there's sometimes we get in arguments, or something I want to do, he doesn't want me to do, or something he wants me to do, I don't feel like doing. You know, it's not all just roses. We have our differences, but, you know, everyone has their differences, and we work them out very well. Mm-hmm. And we have a very good relationship, not only on the track, but off the track, too, you know. We talk things over personally, which has brought me closer to him than any other coach ever, mm-hmm. than most people.
Does he ever get out and run with you?
No. He doesn't get out and run with me, but he's there. He's holding a watch. That's all. Uh-huh. You know, I don't expect him to, you know. I don't mm-hmm. think he could keep up with me.
And from the some days you just can't win for losing department comes this unfortunate story. 9,100 fans showed up this season for the opening game at home for the Houston Rockets of the NBA. At the end of three quarters, the Rockets were coasting along by the score of 101-61. Now, normally, you'd think that the fans would be streaming towards the exits, assured in the knowledge that their Rockets had this game in the bag, but not so. It seems that a local chicken establishment had made an offer that when the Rockets scored 135 points or more in a home game, free chicken would be given away to all ticket holders. After some reminding from the public address announcer, the fans took up the chant of, "We want chicken." Coach Tom Nosalke got caught up in the spirit of things, reinserted his starters, and made a run at the 135 points. With 51 seconds left in the ball game, guard Mike Dunleavy put in the dinner-winning layup. The next day, over 3,500 ticket holders presented themselves at the chicken place to collect some $5,500 in free food. Steve and Ron Woodall, owners, said that they thought the bet was a good one since the Rockets had only scored 135 points at home only once in their 8 years of existence. Some days you just can't seem to win for losing. That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Jay Burks reporting. And now, here's Tom Hiscox with the top stories of the hour.
President Carter's congressional request for power to order mandatory fuel steps in case of emergency will be made public later today. The measure reportedly includes gas rationing and the closing of gas stations on weekends. The fighting between China and Vietnam is reportedly the heaviest it's been in days. Hanoi Radio says the Chinese have driven 25 miles inside the border. Chicago's regular Democratic organization faces perhaps its toughest challenge in more than 15 years in today's Democratic mayoral primary. Mayor Michael Bilandic is up against a former organization worker, Jane Byrne. And the Israeli cabinet meets today to consider President Carter's proposal to invite Prime Minister Begin to Camp David for another round of talks in hopes of securing an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. We'll take a look at all the national news right after this as 91 News continues.
Make a date, avoid the wait. That's an important reminder for all veterans who visit Veterans Administration outpatient clinics. Increasing numbers of veterans requesting medical treatment make it more imperative than ever to make an appointment as far in advance as possible. Also, if you can't keep your appointment, be sure to let the VA know. Avoid delays in VA waiting rooms. Always make a date, avoid the wait. And don't be a no-show. Cancel your appointment if you can't keep it. A public service message from KCPR and the Veterans Administration.
Out of the 91 News file. From A to Z, under green rain. Well, precipitation comes as no surprise to Californians, at least not as of late, but drivers along Highway 101 in Sunnyvale and San Jose were unprepared for what was described as green rain yesterday. Well, Frank Zappa once warned us of the dangers of yellow snow, but green rain? That's a first. That was the scene yesterday along Highway 101 in Sunnyvale and San Jose, where the mysterious raindrops landed. Out came the pollution control folks to check up on the green rain, and they traced them to the exhaust system of the Zepp Manufacturing Company, a producer of industrial soaps in Santa Clara. Apparently what happened is that the orange-red soap dye had blown into the air and mixed with the rain, producing Kelly green puddles. The sticky green film landed on the freeway, much to the dismay of the drivers along Highway 101. But a Zepp spokesperson is telling us today that the green film was harmless, biodegradable, and more pure than ivory soap. That's from A to Z under green rain.
Tim Tomastic is at the editor's desk. Lewis Wakeland is engineering. I'm Tom Hiscox. Topping the national news at this hour.